1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'd like to begin reading at verse number 12. We want to read down through verse 17, and I hope that every one of us will be mindful. I seem to notice that almost every Sunday there's something to cause us to be distracted. I know there's probably plans being made for different ones today and things you need to do and want to do. And I certainly want to be mindful of that and not just waste your good time. But I would like for us to remember this is the Lord's day. Amen. And so I'm becoming more and more and more concerned, bothered, because there is we used to see it in other places, now we're seeing it more in our ranks, that there's a lack of devotion to the Lord's day. Somebody say amen now. You know, things that growing up, it wasn't just me and our family, but a lot of people I knew wouldn't have dreamed of doing on Sunday. I'm not talking about sinful things. No. It just was sin on the Lord's day. You didn't do that on Sunday. There was a separation. And I really think we need to get back to that. God help us. There's a lack of dedication among our people that's killing us. Can somebody say amen? So the Lord help us here today. I hope I haven't, instead of breaking the ice, froze it over here, and now where it'll be harder for me to preach. I want to help you. I love you. I love everybody. The ones that's not here that should be here, that could be here, I love them too. Doesn't have anything to do with how much I love, but it does have a lot to do with how concerned I am, because the closer we get to the end, the devil is not going to go on vacation. He's going to work even harder because he knows that he has a short time. And so that's the reason we have empty pews on Father's Day that testify against us, is because somebody's treasure is somewhere else. So help us, Lord, today. So I know, Pastor. I understand. You're on one of them deals. Well, yeah, I am. It's my heart is breaking and bleeding, and I'm concerned, because I want to see people make heaven. I want, when I hear the Lord say, "Well done," and I'm planning on that. I intend to make it. But I want to see every one of you that I've preached to in my ministry. I want to see you make it as well. And if I didn't have a heart for that, you don't need me as a pastor, if I don't care any more than that. But I really do. I love and appreciate every one of you. Appreciate the church. Appreciate all the saints. And I hope God will help us today. How many is going to help the preacher preach? All right, let's all stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 12. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 12. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Verse number 15. 10,000 instructors he talked about. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. And though we would have 10,000 instructors, that can never fill the void left in the vacuum of a missing father. You know, children learn, receive instruction from many sources. They learn from their parents. They learn from their grandparents. They learn from their teachers. They learn from their siblings. They learn from their peers, even other children their age. There are many, many instructors. The writer said 10,000, yet not many fathers. And all of those people and things in our life that we have learned from and have brought us instruction can never take the place of what a father can do. Praise God. And we do need instructors. I'm not saying that a father would replace 10,000 instructors. We learn from those things around us, but yet those attributes that only a father can give to his children can never be replaced, even though ye had 10,000 instructors. Amen. You know, God knew exactly what he was doing when he ordained a two-parent family. Somebody say amen. Now, I know some people had to do it alone in a single home, in a single parent. And I admire people that do that and that can do that. But I heard Brother Keith say this morning that there was other people in his life where there was a vacuum that stepped up and fulfilled that place. Thank God for those. And thank God for those that have had to do things and raise a family. But and do it as a single parent. I want you to know I'm not belittling that. I admire that so much, the ones that can do it. But it is God's will for a two-parent family. Now listen, I know I can get off a lot of rabbit trails and take a lot of time here, but I try to use things as Father's Day and Mother's Day and baby dedications and all those things. You know, the family unit, the structure needs undergirding of teaching from God's Word. And so I it's not that I'm just trying to preach a sermon that fits the day. I want to use these opportunities to get across to young families and young parents. Amen. There's a lot that God has to say about the family. And I know we're in a secular generation, and I know I've already used this word, but there's a huge vacuum where people are teaching, and there's a move on in our nation to belittle the role of the father in the home. As though he is not needed, and somehow he brings to the family unit something that is that would lead the children in a wrong direction. That love and that tough love and that firmness that only a father could bring somehow is damaging. You know what happens many times in that vacuum comes up young men that don't know who they are and don't know how to handle themselves and don't know how to act. If you wonder why such things as homosexuality is on the rise in this nation, I think in large part from a lack of family structure and young men growing up without really knowing what their place is and what they're supposed to do. Praise God. I didn't realize this was going to necessarily take this turn. But God knows exactly what he's doing. Now let me preach to our brothers today and fathers. I want to give you my title right now. And I'm changing that word from father to dad because we use that a whole lot. But my title this morning is a doing dad or a being dad. A doing dad or a being dad. Can somebody say amen? One may never compensate by doing for what one may lack in being. Think about that. A doing dad or a being dad? One may never compensate by doing what one may lack in being. By the way, the Old Testament emphasis is on doing, i.e., do this and you shall live. Amen. However, in the New Testament, it is the grace. It is of grace. The law is written upon our hearts, and the emphasis is on being. Somebody say amen. How many know that Matthew chapter 5 is the be attitudes, not the do attitudes? Come on now. Amen. Oh yes, we must be. There, you cannot, there cannot be a replacement for being what we need to be in the home. Amen. Oh, help me to preach here today, Lord. Amen. I want to attempt to break this message into four different categories in the order I'll be going along, the Lord being my helper. I want to preach about founding fathers, fearless fathers, faithful fathers, and then I want to bring it to the end about what we want out of our future fathers. Amen. Praise God. You can go ahead and put that first one up there if you want to, Brother Galen. Our founding fathers. I want to speak about this just for a moment from a historical perspective, and then we're going to try to move on. I realize that I'm going to have to move quickly here today. But we have in our history, and the reason that I feel compelled to do this in church, in a church setting, is because, again, in our nation in which we live, There's a move to secularize and to take out the history or Christ or the Christian influence, the Judeo-Christian influence that had a great impact on the founding fathers of our nation. We would not be where we are now. We would not be enjoying the things we enjoy now had not it been for our founding fathers. Amen. Oh, I know they tried to dumb it down, and I know they tried to say they were secular, and I know they tried to tried to say that Thomas Jefferson wasn't a Christian, but man, I just tend to think that by some of his writings that he had a whole lot more inclinations than what they want to give him credit for. Amen. Thank God for Thomas Jefferson. Amen. The words flowed from his pen. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endued by their Creator. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I believe that was somebody that knew something about God. Amen. They tried to say that Ben Franklin was not a Christian, that he was, one that believed that there was a higher power. Maybe someone that, maybe something or someone out there somewhere, but really wasn't in control of our lives. But I find that hard to believe. Amen. When he asked the Congress to start their day with prayer. Amen. And he said, if a bird cannot fall without the notice of our Father, it is very highly improbable that we will be able to build an empire without His aid. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for our founding fathers. Thank God for Patrick Henry that said, give me liberty or give me death. Amen. Thank God for George Washington that is referred to. Let me just use this morning as the father of our country. And just a couple of things, a few things I want to read to you here. After that battle in 1755, many years before the Revolutionary War, he writes a letter, as I have heard since my arrival at this place. He's writing a letter to his mother and to his brother from Fort Cumberland, a circumstantial account of my death and dying speech. I take this early opportunity of contradiction, the first, and of assuring you that I have not, as of yet, composed the letter, but by all powerful dispensations of providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me. But wait, it gets even better. 15 years later, an old respected Indian chief sought out counsel with Washington when he heard that he was in the area. Through an interpreter, he explained that he had set out on a long journey to meet Washington personally and to speak to him about the battle 15 years earlier. He said, "I am a chief and a ruler over my tribes. My influence extends to the waters of the Great Lakes and to the Blue Mountains. I have traveled a long, weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle. It was on the day when the white man's blood mixed with the streams of our forest that I first beheld this chief, Washington. I called to my young men and said, 'Mark yon tall and daring warrior. He is not of the red coat tribe. He hath an Indian's wisdom, and his warriors fight as we do. Himself also alone is exposed. Quick, let your aim be certain, and he dies. Our rifles were leveled, rifles which but for you knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded you, seeing you were under the special guardship of the Great Spirit. We immediately ceased to fire at you. I am old and soon shall be gathered to the great council fire of my fathers in the land of the shades. But ere I go, there is something bids me speak in the voice of prophecy. Listen, the Great Spirit protects the man,' pointing at Washington, "and guides his destinies. He will become the chief of nations, and people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. I am come to pay homage to the man who is particular a favorite of heaven and who can never die in battle." Amen. Aren't you? Don't you sort of feel a little pride to look back at great men like that in our history and say, "I am an American, and that George Washington is also you, and I can claim him as a father." Amen. Amen. He is a founding father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for those great reformers like Martin Luther, who nailed those 10 theses on the door of the Catholic Church. Amen. And begin to protest. Amen. We are sitting in a church today called a Protestant church. Amen. Where do you think that word Protestant came from? It came from Martin Luther, who protested the things and the corruption that was going on. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning, church, that we're not counting beads? Aren't you glad this morning we're not praying to Mary? Aren't you glad we're not going to a man, amen, to ask forgiveness? Amen. But there was a man named Martin Luther that sought out the scriptures and said faith and salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ and grace. Thank God for a founding father like Martin Luther. Amen. Thank God for William Tyndale. Amen. It said, "As long as I live, it doesn't matter how many countries I'm chased from or how far I'm pursued. I will take the knowledge that I have and I will translate the scriptures out of Latin into English." And he said, "I'll do all in my power to make sure that every plowboy in England can read the scriptures as good as you can." Amen. Thank God we can claim him as a founding father in the church. Hallelujah. Thank God for John and Charles Wesley. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that we have those. Amen. That we can claim as founding fathers in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to bring it on down just a little closer. If my dad was here, and I thought he was going to be, but his plans got changed right at the last. If he was here, I would have him stand. Brother Dickie Tolliver's here. I'm going to have you to stand. Go ahead and stand right now, brother, just for a moment. If Brother Bruce Smith was here, I would have him stand. Amen. And I want to know if there's anybody else in this congregation this morning that we could look to as a founding father. Amen. One of the very first. Matter of fact, the first service we had as a church was inside Brother Dickie's garage in the home where they lived. Amen. I want to thank God for our founding fathers. Amen. You may be seated, Brother Dickie. I want us to know we have a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot of things in our history, amen, that we ought to acknowledge of those that have been fathers, those that have blazed the trails in front of us, those that have been great examples. Amen. Thank God for our founding fathers, amen, that we also can claim, amen, to be personal fathers to us as well. Can you say amen? Amen. I got to hurry. The next one I want to go to, number two, is fearless fathers. Amen. You remember that night that the angel spoke to Joseph, that he said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy spouse wife, for the thing that is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Let me tell you something, church. Every man that's been fearless and not afraid to step out, amen, even in an hour and a time that we're living where marriage is being redefined, amen, and manhood is being maligned, thank God for those that are willing to stand up and say, "I believe in living like the Bible says, amen, and not live around and shack up like a bunch of animals, amen, but we'll stand up and say, I am a man of God, I am fearless, no matter what the world says, no matter whether it's popular or not, I am going to be fearless, amen, I'm going to marry a wife, I'm going to go the way the Bible said, amen, and expect God to do miracles in my life." Amen. Fearless fathers. Where are those young men? Where are those young men that stormed the beaches of Normandy? The beaches of Okinawa? Amen. Southeast Asia. Hell, hallelujah. Iraq, Afghanistan. Brother Lloyd Tabor, Brother Lloyd Whitaker, Brother Mark Griffin, whom I heard say he was on that island where he was a cook in the armed forces in World War II. He said, "I saw the plane that took off, that dropped the nukes in Japan. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know they were that close to danger. It was so secret, nobody knew." But he said, "I saw later they found out that plane was right there where he was." Amen. What are you saying, preacher? There are those that have been fearless. There are those that have not been afraid. Amen. Like our brother Bob Richardson. Amen. That is in this congregation. No doubt spent time. I've heard Brother Johnny Watkins talk about being in the rice paddies of Southeast Asia and Vietnam. Amen. Thank God for those fearless fathers. Stand to. Do we have any veterans besides Brother Bob that's in the congregation? Come on, stand up, brother. Anybody else? We want to give you a good round of applause. Thank God for fearless fathers. Thank God for those that have paid the price. Those that have held on. Amen. Those that have done what they could to make sure we have a safe and secure nation. Such as Brother Wood, I reread the account this morning. World War I. I've told you oftentimes about him praying on that ship. Now God give him that deliverance. But then a few days later, they landed in France, right in the heat of the battle. He said those men started marching toward the battle lines, marching in formation. I don't know how many was in it, but he said they got close enough, Brother Sean, they started hearing the sounds. You know, World War I, they talked about the birth of guns. Those big, especially for that war, those big guns. They could hear the blasts and the percussions that was going on from that. And he realized, he said, probably by this time tomorrow, we will be on the front lines and we'll be there. We'll be in it. And he said he looked around, realized so many men he was with wasn't saved. And God laid it on his heart right then. What he said, while they were marching, he started singing, "When the roll is called up yonder, at the sounding of the trumpet." Amen. Oh yeah, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. The morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Amen. He said he started singing alone. But he said in a few minutes, they started singing on his right hand and on his left hand. And in a matter of a few minutes, he said, as far in front of him as he could hear, and as far behind him as he could hear, they were singing, "When the roll is called up yonder." He said yes in 24 to 48 hours. Some of those that had been singing when the row was called up yonder, amen, they were gone. They had been taken out in battle. Amen, fearless fathers. It was that man that stood after their company was out in front of everybody else and spearheading a movement that the flanks did not move as they did, and they were cut off. Amen, come on now, hear me preach. And the commander comes to them and tells them what kind of predicament they're in. They're surrounded. They're cut off from supplies. They're cut off from the other people in their company. Amen. And he says, I need somebody to carry a letter and to take something from here back to the commander behind the lines. He says, this mission is beyond the call. So I'm not assigning anybody. I'm asking for a volunteer. And this brave man, this Christian man, says, he looks around and nobody else is saved. And he said, I'm the only one that's saved. He said, I'll go. He said, before I knew it, I stepped out in front of everyone else. I read this again. Make sure I had the facts right about it this morning in the little book. Amen. He said, his commander told him, your chances of getting across enemy lines are 50-50. He said, your chances of getting back to your own company where we are is zero. You still want to do it? He said, I'll do it. Hours of crawling, going on his belly, moving by night. He made it through the enemy lines, found the commander, delivered the message, telling them the locations of where their company were, where they was, their coordinates. He gets through, that commander says, now, will you take another letter back to your commander? And he says, yes, I will. Remember what his commander said, 50-50 out, zero getting back. Amen. But about 10 o'clock that night, someone hollers at him, who are you? And he says, Private Woods. He had made it all the way back. Praise God. The providence of God, the favor of God. Oh, hallelujah. Fearless fathers I'm preaching about now. Hey, amen. Are y'all still here? Oh, come on now. Let me help you a little bit. What about faithful fathers? Romans 4 and 16. The faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. How many would like to claim faithful Abraham as your father? Amen. Come on, church, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Would you like to? You can. Amen. Faithful fathers, fearless fathers, founding fathers. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for faithful fathers. Those that have blazed the trail in front of us. Amen. Great men like Abraham that took out and went out on faith. And the Bible teaches us that we can be heirs of the same promise. We can claim our lineage to Abraham, not through works, not through circumcision, but through faith. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I wish I could help somebody in here this morning. I want to be thankful again for God giving me the privilege to rub elbows with great men like Autry Davis. I wrote that down in my notes here this morning. Hey, man, not realizing there would be others. I see Brother James Hughes, his sisters here in the service today. They sat under his ministry. They knew him, Brother James, Brother Carlton, and different ones. But as a young man, a young minister preaching in the Muldrow camp meeting, I can remember Brother Autry Davis getting behind me and saying, preach, young man, preach, son. Man, reading scriptures for me that I didn't tell him to read, but he got anointed with me. Hallelujah. Thank God for fathers of the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. John Lee, Havis Crawford, L.D. Moore. Amen. Tommy Tolliver. Hallelujah. All of these great men that have impacted our lives. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to get you to a place to understand you have a great heritage and a great lineage. Amen. You can trace it back to the Bible. You can trace it back to the founding fathers of our nation. And every one of us can say, thank God for our fathers. Hallelujah. Though there be 10,000 instructors, there are few men that rise to the place of being a founding father, a fearless father, a faithful father. Amen. Faithful to your wife, faithful to your children, faithful to your church. And if you cannot be faithful to your church and your God, I have my doubts that you will be faithful to your wife and to your children. Man, y'all, I really hope I'm helping you. I wish I was preaching better. But I know I got a message here this morning. Amen. We need some more faithful fathers. I can kind of preach this from a personal perspective. I was raised in a preacher's home. My dad was pastoring when I was born. But I can tell you there was never ever in our house a question about whether or not we were going to church. Well, you say, well, I know, but you had to be. I understand. We did have to be. Amen. But I know a lot of pastors that their families and their wives and their children were not faithful to the same calling as their father was. But then on a personal note, April and I sat over here when the pews were sitting over here on this side. And our pew was against that wall. And we had four little children that sat on that pew with us. We was on display for everybody to see. And I want to tell you something. I was not always a preacher. And even after I was called into the ministry, I was not full-time for a long time. But my children will tell you there was never a question on church night or revival night whether or not, are we going to go? Not one time. Do I remember one of my children ever coming to me on church night and say, Dad, we going tonight? What about it? Do you think we're going to go? Never. Did not happen. And had it been, they would have been rebuked sternly. Of course we're going. Anybody sick in this house? Come on now. But I'm not trying to kill the meeting. I'm trying to help you. I'm telling you, you can discount it. You can mark it off. You can do whatever. So goes the family. So goes the church. And so goes the nation. And we can complain about Obama all we want to, but Obama was not raised in a Christian home. You wonder why he does the things he does. You wonder why he makes decisions that every one of us, I mean, even people that hadn't been to college, Brother Galen, ones of us that wouldn't know, you know, we say, man, I would have known better than that. Because we base our perspectives on a Judeo-Christian perspective. And he does not. And it only takes one generation of you raising your children like heathens and not bringing them to church and not being faithful and showing them what a real man does. And I'm bringing you to my next point and my final point. Fathers of the future. I want these three previous points to culminate to my last category. Fathers of the future. What do we want? I tell you what I wish every Sunday morning. And I don't ask you to, because I know, you know, we stand to read and we stand to sing, and I know I ask you to stand a lot of times. But when this altar bench is lined up on both sides, shoulder to shoulder, with little boys and little girls. I mean, let me tell you something, church. Whether or not George Washington chopped down the apple tree, or whether he barked it, or whether there was not even a cherry tree on his property. The point was, in the public schools and the Guffey Reader, that was a lesson of character that was taught about George Washington. And I've read some history. There were cherry trees on their homestead in Virginia. Amen. But we were taught in public school, Brother Leslie, that George Washington never told a lie. You know, we kind of laugh about that now, don't we? You know, I cannot stand here and say that George Washington never, ever told a lie. What I am telling you, that was a principle of character that was taught. And I've already read to you, talked to you about George Washington, our founding father. But you know what? When he was a little boy, come on back in here, church. When he was a little boy, somebody told him, son, don't tell a lie. I am amazed at the lack, well, let me put it this way, at the liberty that people nowadays take with the truth. Anyway. God help us. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. There's a reason why God said, Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And I know I am guilty. I have been guilty, a lot of us have. With being a jokester and carrying on with people and going on until some people cannot discern whether that person is telling the truth or a lie. Anyway, come on now. And we allow ourselves to be brought in reproach and in question. God help me. I don't know why I'm preaching. This is not in my notes. God help us. Founding fathers. We all grew up believing that George Washington. Come on, do y'all help me? We grew up. We read that story where I went to school in Sand Springs. I mean, I'd have went home. You'd have never made me believe. I was for sure that George Washington never told a lie. You know, and I don't know. You know, just because. And if that story is true, some say it's not. But, you know. You know, if he did tell the truth about the cherry tree, that doesn't mean necessarily that he never told a lie about anything else. But there was a great emphasis put on the truth. And I'm asking you, I'm talking to you now. From my heart, what do we expect when we bring him half the time to church to pray at this altar for the pastor to lay his hands on? When we find other things to do on the Lord's day, in those things you are teaching your children, there are other things more important to Daddy than you being in church. You're telling your wife that. You're telling your children that. I don't care. I don't care what the other excuses are. That's what you're telling them. There's other things. And I just want to know, because I've raised mine. I've done the best I could do. I hope I've done the best. I tried to do the best I could do with what was in my power. But now they're going to be yours. They're your sons and daughters that are kneeling at this altar. And what kind of fathers are we going to produce? Oh, hallelujah. I'm just about done preaching. I wish I could do better. I'm really trying to help somebody here this morning. Amen. Do we want our future fathers to be founding fathers? Do we want our future fathers to be fearless fathers? Do we want our future fathers to be faithful fathers? If we do want them to be that, there's responsibility that we bear in this matter. We must be pointing them in the right direction. Amen. Oh, I got to tell you, church, there is no substitute. Amen. There is no substitute for being. Amen. You can't replace with doing. Amen. What you can only be by being. You can't replace it with dollars. You can't replace it with vacations. You can't replace it with putting them on a bus. Amen. You must be. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody get me a song. I'm just about done. Amen. The mighty man David we look at in the Bible. All of these things we could ascribe to him. He was a founding father. He was a fearless father. He was a very faithful man. You can tell by reading his Psalms. But I think you would have to agree with me. And I submit to you that David failed. as a father. Amen. And it showed up in Absalom. It showed up in Amnon. It showed up in Adonijah. It showed up in Solomon. Amen. Come on. Is there anybody in this house pulling with the pastor this morning? I'm preaching the very best I can preach to you this morning. I'm trying to get somebody's attention here. Amen. I don't know how much longer it's going to be before Jesus comes. I don't know how much longer we have. But I know if Christ tarries His coming, we are going to have some young men that will dedicate their lives to Christ and can be used to be called into the ministry. Founding fathers. When George Washington was barking that cherry tree and debating about whether to lie or tell the truth to his dad, he didn't know that he was going to ride those lines and men would be falling on both sides of him. He didn't know that 250 years later, we would be calling him Brother James, the father of our country. He did not know that. Please listen to me preach. Amen. I really need some singers. I'm done. I'm closing with this personal illustration. Pray for me. This is going to be a little bit hard for me to give to you. But one time, I tell this to my shame. And Adrienne was older when she got married. This was probably about 2-3 years maybe before she got married. She talked to me. And she was weeping and crying. She said, "Dad, you make sure everybody else's needs are met. If anybody calls you, you go. You stay as long as it takes." She said, "Whatever anybody else needs, you do. Wherever anybody else calls you, you go." Then she looked at me, and this broke my heart. She said, "Dad, I need you." You know what I done, Brother Galen? In a day or two, one night about 9 o'clock at night, me and her got in the car and we drove for about 2 hours and we drove and we drove and we drove and we talked and we cried. I cannot tell you this day. I do not know what it was that she wanted to talk to me about. I don't remember that. I really don't even think that was important to her. It was just the thing I could never do what I could be. And she needed her daddy to be with her, talk to her. You can put the title back up, brother. You can never compensate with doing what you lack in being. God, forgive me for not being the father that I needed to be. God, forgive me for not being the pastor that I need to be. But I wonder what will be said about me. What will people think of me later? What will be said about my ministry? That is important, what people say about my ministry. But it's more important what Trey and Denton and Trenton and Adrienne and this beautiful woman that I call my wife as the mother of my children. It's more important than what they think about me and who I am as a man and as a Christian than it is anybody else. Oh, y'all are not hearing me wrong in here today, are you? I love my church. I love the saints. I love the young people. My heart breaks for you, you young men and young fathers. Amen. I cannot imagine what you're going to have to deal with and what you're going to have to face. But I beg of you, be a founding father. Be a fearless father. Amen. But most of all, be a faithful father. Amen. Faithful to your God. Faithful to your home. Faithful to your church. I'm telling you, nothing else. Nothing else will ever matter. Man, and I'll preach to us preachers. Amen. I love you, Brother James. You got a beautiful young family. And we're so glad that you moved in here to help us. We're thrilled you're here. Amen. And we're going to put a lot of work on you. And we're going to expect a lot out of you. Amen. And I know you have the shoulders and the strength to do it. Amen. But I tell you something, the most important thing in your life is what's on that pew right there. Amen. Oh, God, help us. And I want you to know something. If every one of you would take to heart what I'm preaching, amen, and you would pray about an hour, amen, in this altar service, it would make a difference in our church. I'm not making selections on these things just so I can say something on Mother's Day or Father's Day. I realize the need that our families and our churches have, and our nation is begging for somebody. It's time for somebody to step up. Step in. Amen. You young men, young fathers, praise God. Amen. Don't put all of that over on Brother James. Amen. He is to reinforce what you're teaching in the home. And it's not his job to have to try to undo everything that you're teaching them in the home before he can teach them something in the schoolhouse. Man, I'm feeling God in here this morning. Oh, I wish my church was filled, my God. I'm telling you, these pews are testifying against me this morning. And I'm trying to do the best I can and preach with love and try to point you the right way. Our nation is begging for men. Amen. Our nation is begging for fathers. They're not looking for somebody. Amen. That can't talk like a man and limp-wristed like a woman and can't stand up and be a man. He's not talking about a Lone Ranger or a John Wayne or a macho man. That's not it. A founding, a fearless, and a faithful. Amen. And what we do is going to make a lot of difference in the future, fathers. If your lack of devotion, if your lack of faithfulness, if your lack of stability, if you're wishy-washy, if you're in and out, if you're up and down, come on, play softly. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm amazed. I'm amazed beyond. My mind can't get around it of why people can't understand. Moses, when he come to years, that frontal lobe of his brain, I preached to you about a few weeks ago, put all of these things together in a time when our country is in need and our churches, many of them. I know Bethany's been an exception, but many churches of like precious faith, their numbers are in regression. Seem like the last couple of years we've just sort of been holding our own. I'd like to see us get back where we get on another growing, amen, another moving. Praise God. Brother Troy, maybe if I could preach better, maybe if I was more inspiring, amen. But I want to tell you something. I am a shepherd. Was that you, Sister Wilma, that I read about this week? Put that little post on there. I think it was a quote from Charles Spurgeon someplace. I read things, I don't remember where, but it said the time, he made a prediction, the time will come, amen, when the preacher would not be a shepherd to the sheep, but rather they would be looking for a clown to entertain the goats. And that's where we're coming to. I hear people talking about sometimes, oh, yeah, our preacher, he just keeps you laughing all the time. He just keeps you rolling all the time. Amen. Come in there and you'll feel good. You'll going out feeling good, feeling better. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad when you come to church. That's not it at all. I mean, I've worked on trying to see how we close out the service with a song and everybody leave happy, feeling good with a smile. And I know it seems like when I preach this way and it gets serious that we all get a lot of long faces. Amen. But I'm preaching to you because I love you and I know we can have revival and I believe we can have a breakthrough. Amen. Founding fathers, fearless fathers, faithful fathers. We'll produce another generation of fathers for the future. Let's stand in the house today.
I hope I've helped you here this morning. I don't want to just be an entertainer of the goats. I don't want to be a clown looking for a next good joke or next great illustration. But boy, I'd sure would like to preach to you things, young men, that would challenge you. That's what I'm wanting to do. I'm not so interested in being a funny preacher, necessarily being a great communicator. I want to challenge you. I want to be a challenging preacher because we are living in challenging times. Oh, God, help me preach here this morning. We're living in demanding times. The church is calling on men. The nation is calling on men. Your families are calling on you to be a man. Amen. Quit being a child. Quit being a rebel. Quit questioning everything that comes along. Step up to the plate and the challenge. Be a man. Thank God for my dad, my godly father. I wished he was here. Thank God for great men like Dale Crawford. It wasn't my father. My dad was my father and my pastor. Brother Dale Crawford was my mentor. Come on, church. They say, "Oh, preacher, you're just looking for big names." No, no, no. It's already been established. Brother Keith said it this morning. There are young men in this church that need mentors. You can take them fishing with you on Saturday. Not Sunday. Saturday. I'm telling you the truth. My grandma would have gave me a spanking and grounded me if she'd have found out I wet a hook on Sunday. She did not allow it. She did not allow it. Not in her pond you didn't fish on Sunday. We're growing up now with a generation now. It means it's absolutely nothing. They'll even laugh about it, some will. So that's just the way those old folks used to be. Yeah, and you know something? Those old folks were the ones that produced that generation that Tom Brokaw named the greatest generation. They were the ones that stormed the beaches. They were the ones that come back home and built the greatest economy America has ever known. In that little book I read to you, I've already quoted to you some of it today about M.A. Wood. You know what? Every how many men was marching in that company? They knew the words to "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." Brother Wood said because mainly they were from the Midwest and revival had swept these parts in previous years. And people in little Methodist churches and Presbyterian churches were taught those songs like "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." And when they were in need, even though they weren't saved, they knew the words to the song. Amen. God help us. Why do Christian people on your profile page need to have a favorite country and western song? And need to have a favorite artist. And even brag and talk about going to the concerts. My God, what in the world is going on in our churches? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to produce a weak generation. We're going to produce a generation of sissies. Amen. A beer drinking, woman chasing, lying. Amen. Cheating. My God, help the preacher to preach in here this morning. I'm about to get aggravated and anointed all at the same time. But I'm telling you what, if we're going to raise up a generation that's going to storm hell and going to storm this country we live in with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we got to get busy doing it. Amen. There's too many of you hanging around the edges. Amen. God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in here. there's too many of you that's being beat down and beat out and taken out of the game with stuff that don't melt to a hill of beans. Oh, I'd like to help somebody here right now. God, help us here this morning. We need some dads. We need some being dads. We need some praying dads. We need some fearless dads. We need some faithful dads. We need some praying dads. Oh, my God, help us. Hey, man, we're in challenging times. The church is facing things we've never faced. Your children are facing things they've never faced. Do you realize in our nation, 20 states... 20 states have legalized same-sex marriage. And most of that's happened in the last 6 years of the president we've had. I tell you what I feel like this morning. I feel like the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I know what some of you are going to do. You're going to walk out and say, he's past his time. He's old. He's forgetting. No, I just realized, amen, that Jesus hasn't come yet. Amen. And if something don't happen, my little grandchildren are going to raise up and come up in a different America. The reason things like that happened in World War I is because those boys knew when the roll is called up yonder. Now there's a lot of church folks don't know when the roll is called up yonder. Amen. These altars are open. Somebody can hit the altar whenever you're ready. My God, I wish I could help somebody. Come on, let's pray. Let's seek God here this morning. Sing that song. Lord, help us today, Lord. Touch us today. God, challenge us. Touch us. Move on us.
To you, Lord, draw me closer till I hear your voice. I will lay down my whole life just to draw me closer to you, Lord. Draw me closer till I hear your voice. Someone's heart is needing repair. Let me show them how much you care. Draw me closer. Draw me closer till I hear your voice. I will lay down my whole life just to have you. Words can't offer.
the praise I feel. My heart is full, peaceful and still. I will serve you all of my life, for giving up to this hopeless life. Draw me to you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Draw me closer till I hear your voice. I will. Just to